Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today we have a special program, and you're in for a real treat. I know yesterday we had a broadcast, and we mentioned that we're going to be following up on some details regarding a certain testimony, but we're going to be re-airing that on Friday, this coming Friday. But for today, something that I know you will receive a blessing from what we have in store. President Abraham Lincoln said, "If I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 6 hours sharpening my axe." Great leaders understand the importance of preparation, and they do so with precision. As such, a certain capacity grows both within and around them that enables more to be accomplished in what seems to be a shorter period of time. Our guest today understands very well the importance of preparation. And beyond that, translating it to action and progress. I want to let you know why we have this program. It's because, you see, we believe that God has given us the privilege to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. That in spite of whatever situation, whatever circumstance you may be facing at this very hour, at this very moment, however you may be feeling, whether you are feeling a sense of utter despair or maybe a glimmer of hope has shone into your heart, whatever it is, God knows you and He loves you. And we want to remind you of that. And the arms of the Lord are wide open, calling you to Himself. Lieutenant Governor James R. Duke Iona Jr. has dedicated his life to serving the people of Hawaii. Born and raised in Hawaii, Duke Iona has served the public as a city prosecutor, city attorney, state judge, for the past 7 years as Lieutenant Governor. Throughout his career, Lieutenant Governor Iona has led the fight against crime and illegal drugs while working to strengthen Hawaii's families and promote Hawaii's businesses. He's a proud Keiki Oka'aina, a child of the land. And for him, nothing is more important than the health and well-being of our state's families. You know, he has never forgotten his roots. Born in Pearl City, graduated from St. Louis School, received his bachelor's degree from the University of the Pacific in Stockton, California, and earned his law degree from the University of Hawaii's William S. Richardson School of Law. He met his wife, Vivian, while attending law school. They've been married since 1981. They have 4 children, Makana, Ohulani, Kulia, and Ka'imilani. He's dedicated as husband and father. He's a leader in his church, his community. He serves, and all this, you know, besides being the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Hawaii, Board of Trustees of St. Louis School. He was formerly even board member at Marinol. Lieutenant Governor Iona, welcome. Well, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Pastor. That was awesome. Thank you very much. Aloha.
Tell us, let's just get right into it.
Okay.
You know, where did you grow up? I know Pearl City, you went to St. Louis, but give us a little bit more. Tell us where you grew up, and also who influenced you most in those formative years of your growing up?
Well, actually, I was born where the freeway is right now, where H1 is. It's hard to describe. Lunalilo off-ramp. If you notice, if you ever go on that Lunalilo off-ramp going towards Hawaii Kai, there's a tennis court. It was we had a home right in front of that tennis court, and then the freeway was going to be built, so they condemned all that land there. Mm. And that's when we moved to the suburbs. So we moved out to Pearl City when I was 5.
Wow.
And we stayed there till I was in the 8th grade, and then we moved to Kahalu. Hmm. And I stayed in Kahalu until I graduated from high school. And then went away to school, and you mentioned the rest. But I would have to say most influential persons in my life during my formative years in Pearl mm-hmm. City would have to be, of course, my parents, my mom and my dad, very influential. And my sister, my oldest sister, who's now a principal at Powell Elementary, and my coaches. I played athletics was a big part of my life, and I remember I played baseball, and I'd be at the games like 2 hours before the game just because I was just that excited. Wow. And I just made that a big part. So all of my coaches that I had, Jack Park was one of my baseball coaches. Mm. I had, Paul Joy, who was my football coach. And I had, Robert Dunaway, who was one of my basketball coaches at Marinol. And so those people really influenced my lives. And of course, they had the most influence on me, and it was the Marinol nuns, because I went to Marinol from kindergarten to 8th grade, and that's when they had nuns and brothers, and they had a big part in my life, unbeknownst to me at that point in time, right, how much of an influence they had in my life.
Give us a glimpse of that. In what way were they influential?
You know, they practice, I guess, what you would call tough love. Mm-hmm. The nuns at that time were teachers. They were educators, but they were also servants of God. Marinol was a missionary church. It started as a church and then evolved into a school. And so the nuns came mainly to preach the word of God and, to be missionaries. But then it evolved into school, and so they became teachers. And so they had to have control of the classroom. They had to have control of the students, etc. But they also had to, they had to show the love of God. And so mm-hmm. it was one of those kind of tough, because I was that kind of student. I was just one of those kind of students. I mean, and just recently, one of my 8th grade teacher, Sister Marguerite, passed away. Uh-huh. But she was keeping in contact with me. And I remember the first time when we started communicating, which was maybe 10, 12 years ago. And she said, and I was a judge at that time. And I told her at that point in time, I guess you would never believe that I was a judge. And then when I got elected to lieutenant governor, I said, you probably would never believe that. And she said, no. She says, no. I always knew that God had a plan for you, and that you were a leader. And so it's just that kind of, that this is kind of, like I said, that tough love that they gave. And, of course, like I said, they'd get you involved in the ministries. I remember I had a little talent in playing the guitar. Yeah. So they made me do the music ministry. And I remember we'd go to church at least once a week, right? We'd have mass and whatnot. And of course, our Catholic faith and just what they drilled in us. At least I thought it was drilling in us at that point in time. But it really was teaching us the Word of God and our faith, our Catholicism. So, they had a strong influence in me. I look back now on what I've gone through and what I've done. And, I gotta say that they set a good foundation for me. Mm-hmm. And even though I wandered and, because people ask you, when did you really find the Lord, and when did you really, establish that relationship with Him? I said, well, I was born a Catholic, so as a Catholic, you're baptized when you're an infant, and so you become a part of the church at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And like many Catholics, you're entrenched in the doctrine, and you You go to church on Sundays. And back then, what you had to do was, you had to, and because I was at Marino, you had to have this card signed by Father on Sundays to I guess it was to show that you went to church on Sundays, mm-hmm. and then you got to turn it in to Sister on Monday mm-hmm. to show them that you went to church. And so I did that religiously. I wasn't an altar boy. I never got into the ministry that way, but got all my sacraments, First Holy Communion and whatnot. And then, you know, it was really, me who left God. And I just thought it was all about me, right? I mean, it was, you know, everything that happened was because of me. I just, you know, not that I didn't believe in God. That was always my faith was always there in believing in God. But I just stopped going to church. I never prayed anymore. Just like I said, everything revolved around me. So I wandered, you know, through high school and of course college, and did things that, you know, that you shouldn't have done.
And all along you were playing sports?
Playing sports, you know.
Were you dedicated as a student too?
I was. I mean, I was a good student. Mm-hmm. I you know, and that's what carried me through college, of course, and through, in fact, when I went to school at University of the Pacific, I actually got an academic scholarship as opposed to an athletic scholarship. I walked on and I played basketball and, you know, made the team. The reason I went to University of Pacific was because my former coach in high school was coaching there, and he says, I can't offer you a scholarship, but I'd like you to walk on. So I did, and I went there, and actually when I got there, he left. He went to another school, so much for that. But in any event, that's, you know. Yeah. And then when I graduated and I came back, that's when I met my wife, Vivian. Okay. And she is...
So when you were at law school?
It was at law school. And she's my rock. She's my spiritual rock. She brought me back to the Lord. She brought me back to the church. And it's at that moment, really, that my relationship with our Lord just started to evolve.
Tell us, you know, I'm interested to hear. I know, you know, in fact, I want you to maybe go into a little bit more detail about that when we come back from our break.
Sure.
Because, you know, our lives are characterized in many ways by transitions.
Mm-hmm.
And God makes strategic transitions at certain periods of time that literally change the course of our future. Some of our listeners today are kind of wondering if that's happening to them, if this is that moment for them, or is it near? When we come back, Lieutenant Governor James Duke Iona is going to share more about his journey of faith. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission Teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities to join a Paradise Global Mission Team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name.
Call Stephen at 330-5524. That's 330-5524.
A door to your dream is now open. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. We're here today with our featured guest, Lieutenant Governor James Duke Iona. You know, a program like the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for some very generous sponsors like Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service right here on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, and Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited. To hear more programs like this and others, go to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Before our break, we're talking to Lieutenant Governor about, he was sharing about his journey of faith, how after coming back from UOP, the University of the Pacific, getting his undergraduate degree, he went to law school at UH, and there met his bride and life partner, Vivian, and how she was used by the Lord to make a big impact on him in his journey of faith. Lieutenant Governor, tell us more.
Well, Vivian was she was only 19 at that time. I wouldn't say I was rocking the cradle because I was only 22. We're just 3 years apart, but you know, back then it makes a big difference, I guess. So anyway, I was in law school and she had been working. She was working. I met her. She was working at Ward Air Canada, which eventually was. They were bought off by Canadian Air and then Air Canada. And so anyway, that was the evolution of that. So I met her when she was 19, and she was, again, she was my spiritual rock. And so she, you know, we started dating, and she was, you know, she was going to church on Sundays and everything else. And so I eventually got back into it. And, next thing you know, we get married, and, what was another, I guess, what I call a defining moment in my life is to get married in the Catholic Church, you also have to go to what's called engage encounter. Mm-hmm. And so it's a weekend retreat with your partner. And this is really where you really test your faith, and you test your covenant with the Lord. And it was that was the for me a spiritual moment in which I finally understood. I shouldn't say I finally understood, but it hit me again that I had been lost and I needed to get back. And so it was during that weekend that the Holy Spirit really came upon me during that weekend. And it's never been the same since then in regards to my relationship with the Lord. And it just got stronger. It just got stronger as I went along, and He put these different things in my life. When I got appointed to the bench, I got even stronger. And then when I got elected, it's even that much stronger right now. So right now, I just feel this, just this strong passion for my faith and the life that I live, and knowing that all the blessings that the Lord has given me in my life are just all in accordance with His plan. It had nothing to do with me, how I was thinking when I was 18, 19, 20, right? When I thought it was all about me and whatever happened in my life, I controlled, right? You know, you control it.
Yeah.
And it went beyond that too. I mean, even when I was with Vivian, there are many times in my life where I felt I was in control of my life and I controlled and I dictated what was going to be done. And so now I understand, you know, total release, total surrender to his will and to his plan.
You know, it's interesting how you talk about the surrender and the release and just submitting to the Lord's plan. You know, and I wonder if there were certain times, you know, in this journey where you hit some bumpy spots, some rough spots along the way. And, you know, in a little while, later on, maybe as later on in our show, maybe if you can share with us how you've experienced the Lord helping you through some of those times, because we all go through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know our listeners struggle. We all struggle, mm-hmm. and you know, to hear you share how the Lord has helped you through that, I think would be just a tremendous benefit to all of us. You know, before you started your career in politics, like you were saying, you were you know, on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You were a lawyer. How has that helped you serve the broader community?
Well, because you become, you know, when the positions that I held were really public service positions. They really were. As a state prosecutor, you're representing the state of Hawaii, the people of Hawaii. So when you open up your address in court, your salutation in court, you always say, you know, James Iona, deputy prosecutor, representing the people of the state of Hawaii. Likewise, when I was a city attorney, I was representing the people of the city and county of Honolulu. And of course, when you become a judge, you represent an institution that's been, it's our democracy, the judiciary. Mm-hmm. It's the third branch of government.
Mm-hmm.
So to realize that you represent this institution, which is founded upon the people, it's inbred in you. I guess as I got older and as I got wiser and as I served in these positions, that I was really a servant leader. I was a public servant and a servant leader. There's a difference between a servant leader, I think, and a public servant. If you just look at it from a secular point of view, but it's helped me in that respect to understand that it's not about me. It's definitely not about me. It's about me being a good steward. You know, that this is not ownership. I don't own the prosecutor's office or the position that I held. I don't own the city attorney's office, and I definitely don't own the bench. It's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a stewardship that I have and a position that I've been placed in to serve the people. And so it's helped me in that respect, and it's helped me now as Lieutenant Governor to understand that, because I can see how some people get caught up in the position itself and the authority that they have, and they lose perspective in regards to that. What is the extent of their authority? But more importantly, where is this authority coming from? And so, you know, you look at it this way.
Point,
you look like, especially in public service, I mean, in an elected office like I am, you get you work hard. You go out there and you walk the streets. You talk to people. You get to know them. You let them know what you stand for, and it's a lot of hard work. And so you've earned that. You've earned that position, you know, if you look at it from the secular point.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when you read the word and you look at what the Bible has to say about people in authority, our leaders in authority, it's all basically God driven. I mean, you know, he places people in positions of authority. And so when you understand that concept, then your service becomes that much more focused in what you're doing, and you understand that this is really about stewardship and nothing more. It's about me, you know, taking it preserving it for the next generation, because it's about people. It's not about things anymore, you know?
You know, I'm just listening, and I can see it in your eyes and in your gestures. You know, there's like a ember that flickers with a fire and flame of passion. That's coupled with not just a passion, a self-driven, self-centered type passion, but your mindset, your the thought process that forms your mode of operation based on this perspective that you've just shared, you know, the hallmark word really being one of stewardship, makes me wonder, you know, with that, how has that driven you into politics? what would drive someone into politics of any kind? And now we're entering high level politics. Would that be?
For me, it was always a calling. When I go out and I try to explain it, I say it's really about divine intervention. How it came upon me was a persistence by the Republican Party in regards to me serving as, you know, in some capacity, whether mm-hmm. it be as a state representative or senator or whatever. And I always deflected, and I always said, "Nah, I'm not interested. Don't bother me." And I'd always tell Vivian, you know, so and so came again, because this was kind of one person who kept asking and asking. And finally, it was Lieutenant Governor, and I said the same thing, and I went to Vivian and I told her the same thing, and she didn't say any. At that time, she looked at me and I said, "Oh my God!" So she said, "You know, I think you should pray about this. You should think about this and pray about this, because I think this is this is you." Hmm. And so we did. We prayed together, and we did a lot of different things at that point in time, you know, in regards to yes. our faith. And in fact, we had just started reading the Prayer of Jabez at that point in
that
time.
That book,
Vivian and I,
yeah.
yes. And as you know, the prayer starts off with, you know, "Lord, bless me indeed, expand my territories." Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking, thinking, "Oh my God, how much bigger of an expansion can you get?" I mean, you know, yeah. running for not just public service, I mean, public office, but Lieutenant Governor's office, right? And so, you know, it was really that. And so God just confirmed it in many different ways that this is what he wanted me to do. And so I ran, and, you know, here I am. And so likewise, running for governor is of the same basis. It's the same reason why I'm running right now for governor. And but I want people to understand that it's what forms me as a person. Mm-hmm. That my faith is my foundation.
Yes.
And I live off of that foundation. And it's not, so I'm not here, and because this is our faith, as you know, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith is not to go out there and you know, force our religion and our beliefs and convert people. In my eyes, what my Lord wants me to do is to live His faith and to live His love and to be His witness for people to see. And based on that, the Lord will take care of everything else. So we change hearts through our love for people, through our witnessing to His word, and He takes care of the rest. And so I look at it as this is the platform that He wants me on, and you know, this is the platform that I'm going to have to take. I'm going to take up this cross, and here I am.
You know, I think about just your the words of St. Francis of Assisi. "Preach the gospel," he said, "and if necessary, use words." You know, when we come back from our break, we're going to hear more. You know, this program, The Good Life Hawaii, you know, in times like these, you know, we're doing a series now called Hope in a Time of Crisis. There's so much going on around us, so much bustling activity in our lives. And we create a crack, almost like a decompression chamber, allowing you to hear one of the leading candidates for governor here in Hawaii, a unique perspective on this radio show. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
Years ago, the great lyricist Oscar Hammerstein flew with a friend over New York Harbor, approaching the Statue of Liberty. When the pilot suddenly banked the plane, he saw the rare sight of Lady Liberty's hand. Amazed, he noticed every lock and braid meticulously carved and polished. He remembered, this gift was given by France in 1886, before airplanes were even invented. Frédéric Auguste Bartholdi, the sculptor, could have saved months of painstaking labor and expenses by doing minimal work, reasoning no one but seagulls would see it. A gentle reminder, pay attention to details. Don't neglect the little things. You never know how your private work will be scrutinized publicly. I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with a good life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Hawaii Lieutenant Governor James Duke Iona. And we've been having a very good time having fellowship here, just sharing really heart to heart and allowing you to just join with us. You know, one of the things about our show is, you know, we talk story and we kind of allow people to eavesdrop in our conversations. You know, we all have a bent towards that. Perhaps maybe that's why there's such a rave about these reality shows nowadays. But this is the real stuff, and we're just talking heart to heart, and it's really a privilege to be here with you, Lieutenant Governor.
Well, likewise. Thank you.
You know, a program like this is made possible by, you know, Waihewa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited. To hear more programs, go to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Lieutenant Governor, you know, you were talking to us about, you know, what drove you into politics, calling, mm-hmm. You said. Describe now some highlights that you've had, some successes that you've experienced so far in your political career.
Many highlights, and probably the first that comes to mind is I had the opportunity to hold one of the first drug control summits that we ever had in the state of Hawaii, and from that develop a drug control plan, which if many of people who have been following my career know that I was also blessed with the opportunity to develop and implement the first drug court program here in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So I saw many broken adults. And of course, when I was in family court, I saw many dysfunctional families. Mm-hmm. And so I have this real passion and I believe insight in regards to our families and what we need to do with them. And that's why one of my priorities is, of course, family strengthening, to make sure that we have the strongest families we can have, because it's no secret, as the family goes, so goes the the community, so goes the state, so goes the country, so goes the world. If there's anything that I've learned in traveling throughout the world is that it's really a small world. And one thing that we have in common, whether we're Chinese or Japanese or European or whatever it may be, is that it's the family unit. Everybody wants to do what's best for their children, you know, as when I talk to different adults mm-hmm. out there, and everybody's into their family, you know. Some people who might be married and don't have children, they're into their families, or their nephews, their nieces, or whatever it might be. So, you know, it's all about our families. And so I had the opportunity, like I said, to develop a drug control program, and as a result of that, one of the things that came back was how we needed to develop more programs for our young people so that they we could take away those risk factors, you know, the after-school idle time, you know, not being involved in some structured activity. So one of the programs we started was this program called Uplinks, and it's a middle school program because we found out there were a lot of middle schools basically didn't have any programs. Mm-hmm. High school, they got athletics, they got the band, they got the culture and the arts, they got different programs. Elementary school, a lot of times it's they get into their different things, their hula and whatnot. And middle school, they get kind of lost. So we developed this Uplinks program, which is basically a tutorial activities type of program. So after school, you do about an hour of tutorial work. And along with that, because we use federal funds for that, you'd get some counseling and education in regards to teen pregnancy, as well as drug use and alcohol use. Mm-hmm. So it was perfect. And then following that, after that 1 hour, that was mandatory. Then you can engage in whatever activity you wanted to engage in. And one of the programs that we took it to first was in Molokai, and they loved culinary arts. And so they developed a culinary arts program. I remember I went there upon the last day of the program, and they cooked a meal for me. It was fantastic. So I'm very proud of that. Another one that I believe, and this is one that is driving me right now also to run for office, and that is our Hawaii Clean Energy Initiative. Mm-hmm. That we it's a model program, but it's also one of its kind. The only state to enter into a agreement with the U.S. Department of Energy. And the objective of this initiative, which is now law, is that by the year 2030, which is just 20 years from now, one generation, we will be, our energy will be 70% clean. In other words, 40% of the energy that we generate here in Hawaii will come from clean, renewable sources, such as the sun and the wind, and 30% of the energy that we have will be created through efficiency. So in other words, through your CFLs. You change your light bulb, mm-hmm. CFLs. You change the tint here on your window, so you have less light and heat coming in. Through efficiency appliance, you know, Star Energy appliances, things of that nature. So it's something that, again, it's a model. We've made tremendous progress within the last couple of years, but it's sort of like a plant. We got some roots in it, but it's not quite there yet, and we need to make sure that it's firm. And that's why I want to make sure that we continue the leadership that we have for this program, and it really becomes firm after 4-8 years, whatever it may be, in regards to my tenure as governor. So those are just a couple of things that I feel very good about and what we've accomplished in the last 7 years.
You know, with your gubernatorial race, I guess the question has to be brought up even in light of these accomplishments and the plans for the future. What would you say, Lieutenant Governor, the specific experiences that you have that you feel qualify you best to be the next governor in the state of Hawaii?
The fact that I was the lieutenant governor for the last 7, right now almost 8 years, is probably at the top of the list. I've had the opportunity to work side by side with Governor Lingle in helping her to develop her policy. I've had the opportunity to work with the department heads and develop their agenda and see what the policies that they crafted for their various departments and what has transpired in the last 7 years. I got to see the relationship that is needed to work with the legislature, you know, and how the legislature works. Probably one of the biggest things that a lot of my opponents are ignoring right now, and that's the budget, how to work the budget. because the budget is really the essence of government. I mean, that's what drives the services. That's what drives the performance of government in general. So I've had all of those experiences as the number two person. And so, you know, people say, well, you know, that's your policy. Well, yeah, it's my policy to the point that I'm on this team. But really, we all know that when you're on a team, you become a part of this team, and it's the person, in this case, Governor Lingle's, it's her administration, and the ultimate policies that come down come from Governor Lingle. We don't always agree on everything, but if there's one thing that I know about teamwork is that you support when decisions are made. Whether you agree or you disagree, you support to the best of your ability. And so I've learned that firsthand, like I said. So I know I can hit the ground running in regards to the budget, in regards to how do we craft legislation for the legislature, and then how do we get these things passed in the legislature. And then, of course, just knowing all of the departments and what they do and where we've been for the last 7 years and actually before that, because part of developing policy is to know where you came from, you know, because if you want to know where you're going in the future, you got to know mm-hmm. where you came from. Mm-hmm. So we've studied what's happened in the past, and I know what's happened in the past. Where we're at now in regards to the policies that we've developed and where we need to go in the future. So that's a huge advantage and something that neither of my opponents can say that they've had that experience, because it is totally different if you're dealing with city government. It's totally different if you're dealing with national government. It's just a different process in and of itself. I'll give you an example. For instance, on the national level, when it comes to crafting a budget, they don't have any parameters. They basically can spend as much as they want and appropriate as much as they want, because they basically print the money. So they can do whatever they want. When it comes to our city government, the revenue source that they have is pretty predictable. The major source of revenue that the city government has is your property taxes. And that's very predictable in regards to how much you're going to get each year. Now, on state government, when it comes to revenues, your revenues are based on projections. So when we work with our budget on the state level, it's based on projections. What a group of economists believe that the projections will be for our various sources of revenue, income, which is, the GE tax, tourism tax, corporate tax, income tax. And so you have these various sources, again, based on projections. And that's kind of what happened in the last couple of years. The projections that the economists said were going to happen didn't happen. Mm. The revenues just didn't come because of the global economy, because of what happened globally and not something that happened here locally. Mm-hmm. So projections were off. When the projections are off, that throws your balance. It basically, your budget becomes now unbalanced, and you have to work it accordingly. So that's a tremendous experience that I've had. No other administration can say that they faced the kind of economic challenges that we faced in the last 2 years. And I saw how we've handled it. And I know what tools are available and how we can balance this budget without raising any of our major taxes.
You know, Lieutenant Governor, when we come back, maybe you can take us a little further on some action plan points that you may have specifically in that regard, sure. Based on the budget. Because, you know, every governor and every new governor's administration are going to be facing challenges. Mm-hmm. I'd like for you to share a little bit more when we come back. Maybe you're facing some challenges today. Lieutenant Governor Aona, also, I want to give him a chance to just share how he's come back from some tough times, too. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime. Touch people for eternity in Jesus' name.
Call Stephen at 330-5524. That's 330-5524.
A door to your dream is now open. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Lieutenant Governor James Duke Iona. And before our break, he was explaining to us, we were just talking about, you know, in a new governor's administration, you know, what would some challenges be that he would face? And we're talking about the budget as a major challenge, and you were expanding on it, mm-hmm. but wanted to just ask you. Okay, so it's a problem. It's something that needs to be dealt with. Given the opportunity, how would you handle it?
Well, we have a constitutional mandate in regards to our state budget that it has to be what they call a balanced budget. In other words, you can't spend any more than what you get. So it's like your household budget, like any business. You know, you get X amount of revenues, you have X amount of expenditures, and you can't spend any more than what you bring in. And so there's different ways in which you balance that budget. However, in our state budget, we work off of projections. So all of our budgets are based on projections from mm-hmm. economists that say, okay, this is what your revenues are going to be. And so you work off of that, and that's what your expenditures have to equate to, is off of these projections. Well, and like I said, in the past couple of half, 2 years, the projections were off. It was a lot less than what they thought we were going to come in. So evidently, we got to withhold some of the expenditures we have, or we're going to have to cut like anything else, like at home. If you're not bringing in the kind of money that you thought you were going to bring in, what goes first? Well, maybe the cable TV will go first. Maybe then the cell phone might have to go. You know, you just go down the line and you cut your expenses. And that's what we've done along the way, and we're going to continue to do that. And we've made government, I believe, as efficient as we can, in light of the challenges that we had. And it's a matter of, again, using these discretionary tools that you have. And these discretionary tools, like I said, is where we restrict spending on behalf of the department. So what we did was we said, okay, you're gonna have to reduce your spending by 4%. So look at your discretionary spending, you know, where you're not, your hands are not tied, and you can mm-hmm. just kind of spend mm-hmm. money, and reduce that by 4%. No more new equipment. No more travel. No more new hires. Things of that nature. We've done that, and we can continue to do that. Look at your programs. See how you can consolidate. See how you can integrate from interdepartmental integration with programs, and see if we can provide the same services, but at less expense. We've done that. We've started that, but we can do more in regards to that. And so we can balance our budget, and we can make sure that we provide the services without raising any taxes. And the tax that was proposed to be raised in the last, actually in the last two sessions was the GE tax. And people might don't quite understand the GE tax. The GE tax, people say, oh, that's our sales tax. Well, no, it's not our sales tax. Actually, we don't have a sales tax here in Hawaii. We're probably one of the few states that don't have a sales tax. When I say one of the few states, the states that have a tax, a sales tax, we're one of the few states that just doesn't have a pure sales tax. In other words, just on goods that are sold in the stores. Our GE tax taxes all goods and all services. But what makes it even more onerous is the fact that it's taxed at every different level. So for instance, a bottle of water comes in from somewhere and it goes to the wholesaler. When that comes into the wholesaler and they buy it from this distributor, this distributor of water, they have to pay a GE tax of 4.1%. Okay. When that wholesaler now sells it to, let's say, the middle person, that middle person also will be charged this tax of 4.1%. So you see the price goes up.
Right.
And then when that wholesaler sells it to the retailer, they pay likewise that 4.1%. Mm-hmm. And then when they sell it to the consumer, you see all of these taxes are included, even though you're only going to get hit for 4.1. It seems like you're only being hit for 4.1% tax. No, in reality, it's like triple that. Because everybody else paid it down the line, and that's all included in the price. So the retailers, they're right. They say, a lot of times they say, well, we just collect the taxes. Well, in reality, you're passing on this cost that happened before you eventually bought that product.
So what would we do about that?
That's why we don't want to have an increase in our GE tax. You know, the tax is sufficient enough right now to bring in the kind of revenues that we need. And what we need to do is just, again, we just need to be more efficient in government and make sure that our services and, our departments are run with very little waste. And we're working towards that. Government's a huge bureaucracy. It has a lot of employees and there's a lot of waste that goes on. And I'm hearing about it day in and day out because, you know, there's so much that happens at the bottom level that you don't know about. So I hear about it. Well, you're wasting money this way, or this could be done better that way. You could help businesses if you did that. So we move in that direction.
You know, it takes courage. It takes courage to take the step that you're taking and to lead. It takes courage to be a leader and to make decisions. And to face challenges on a personal level. We talked about it earlier, but have there been times when you've hit some bumps along the way, had your back against the wall?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, especially in this job where many times you're being criticized, you're being questioned about what you do.
Yeah.
And you lose that... that edge, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, in what you're doing. And you know, you just kind of throw your arms up and you say, so why am I doing this? Well, you know why? I mean, I don't need to be criticized. I don't need to be second-guessed. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be called names or whatever it may be, and because I really don't need this. I don't. Mm-hmm. And so this is where, for us who are believers, this is where God makes all the difference in the world. Because it's all about trust and it's all about faith in Him. Mm-hmm. And, you've heard it in many different ways, and in my own simple way, it's like this. If God puts you in a place, He's gonna get you through it. And so, He put me in this place, He's gonna get me through it. He's gonna get me through it if I continue to have faith and trust in Him.
Yeah.
But as soon as that stops, then that's when the pain is gonna be much, much greater, and it's gonna be something that I probably can't bear.
Lieutenant Governor, somebody today listening, they're saying, okay, you know, I've got my back against the wall. I'm facing some challenges right now. My hands are thrown up, and I'm like, you know, I don't need this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone has their own moment. What would you say to somebody who's in a situation like that?
You know, it sounds so easy to say, but it is so true because it's happened to me many, many times. It's you know, you have to put your faith and your trust in our Lord, our God. If you don't, it's going to be that much worse. Remember, God put us here. You got to remember, this is not heaven. The world is not heaven, we as believers, we know where we're going to go. But for those that don't believe, you know, just really look at your heart and look and see why you have these trials and tribulations. It's usually because there's something missing in there. And what's missing in there is usually this soul that we call the spiritual soul, this Holy Spirit that comes upon you and just leads you and becomes your advocate. And so, for those of us that are believers, if you're hurting right now, I mean, I can't say anything more than trust and faith in God. And you know that. And for those that don't believe, well, go look into it and go see where that emptiness is coming from and where that hurt is coming from. And there's really that soul that's missing in there. So, you know, Pastor, that's all I can say is the Lord has been very good to me. He's blessed me in many, many ways. And, I am just so grateful and so thankful. And so it's with that grateful heart that I serve as best as I can. And, again, he's put me in a place and I just got to trust in him that he'll get me through this. And, praise God.
Lieutenant Governor, thank you. You know, in the next few weeks, you're going to hear more stories. More stories. Invite someone to listen in. I know they're going to be inspired. Visit us at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Here's a scripture for today. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is to be more desired than great riches. Favor is better than silver and gold. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to our guest today, Lieutenant Governor Duke Iona.
Thank you, Pastor.
Until next time. With my technical director, Leo Rodriguez, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Been listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro, along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. We hope you have enjoyed our show and that you have been inspired by our featured guests and their stories of God's hand in their lives. Be sure to join us next week for more stories of hope in a time of crisis. Invite a friend to listen. There's no better time than today to unleash your God-given potential. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is calling you.
Just leave it to me. I'll leave.